You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
You can't fool us, or maybe you can. We'll give you an hour to do so. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. This is the Gym Class. A little chilly, overcast day in southwest Cedar Rapids. We'll be with you for the next hour, leading up to Spencer on Sports from 4 to 6. My name is Mark Dukes, alongside Isaac Elzinga, doing double duty, producer, tri-host today. Hi, Isaac.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing good. Pleased to have back with us Scott Unash, who I'm not sure. I don't think he's on his back porch. He's probably not at a Quick Star in Tama, but he's with us. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. No, I am on assignment and just having a long weekend here, a little R&R after the February and March and all that basketball stuff. And so, I wanted to be on the on a balcony, but it's a little bit too windy. So I decided to go inside. We're better off weather-wise than you are right now. We're about partly sunny and 65 right now. So I consider myself lucky and got in some golf.
And you're not going to tell us you shot 66 over the weekend with your torpedo clubs, are you?
Well, I shot 66. I just kept going a little longer. Played good golf. And yeah, while we're on the subject of baseball, I would like to publicly at this time, before we get started and too far into the program, I would like to publicly apologize to my coworker, Spencer Wagon, for absolutely crushing his beloved Milwaukee Brewers and hurting their season by picking them to win the National League Central. I want to publicly apologize for that right out of the chute.
I think Spencer probably, he can speak for himself, but he probably will not only accept your apology, but tell you that the season is far from over.
It is far from over, that's for sure, but you know my track record as far as making predictions. Other than the basketball tournament, I'm doing okay. But yeah, baseball, golf, anything like that, I'm not been up to par lately. So Brewers could still win this thing, but I think they unfortunately ran into the torpedoed New York Yankees to start things off.
It's no April Fool's joke that the Twins are 0-4, getting crushed by your White Sox. Scott, I checked the probable pitchers today. And next to the Twins, it said staff.
White Sox were shut out by the LA Angels over the weekend, but I cannot complain being 2-2. I will take that out of the chute right now.
Isaac, Scott, I woke up this morning knowing it was April Fool's Day. I don't participate in all the pranks and jokes and whatnot because I'm frankly not good at it. But I knew when I woke up what day it was, and first thing I see is Hunter Dickinson has is going to have a seventh year. This from College Basketball Report on X. He's been granted another year of eligibility, his seventh, and he's going into the portal. And the next thing I read is Tiger Woods post, I'm going to play in the Masters, and an Instagram from Aaron Rodgers about retirement. It's so sophomoric, isn't it, Isaac?
Yeah, it's. I had to verify a couple of things my girlfriend sent me. She's like, "Is this true?" I was like, "Just remember what day it is. There's gonna be a lot of falsehoods out there today, so just be wary." I would say this. Normally, I would not say scroll into the comments, but today's a day where you might have to scroll a little bit into the comments and verify some stuff of your own.
You know, the Hunter Dickinson thing, actually, you had me going for a moment because, you know, the NCAA is that, you know, absent-minded that they could grant Hunter Dickinson another year. But I'm glad to hear that was a hoax.
I frankly wasn't sure, but shrugged it off and found out that it wasn't. And listen, Scott, you'll remember this. Isaac won't. Maybe you're aware, Isaac, but there'll never be another better April Fool's prank than Sid Finch, the published story by George Plimpton in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, that was the best. You shouldn't have one after that because he dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And it was absolutely fantastic and had people going nationally. And this was really before the time of the internet and, you know, X and everything like that. So just imagine now. I mean, it would be probably harder to do now, but man, that was the best of all time.
It's nuts. But at any rate, April 1. And we have our NCAA tournament brackets, the Final Four filled, Scott. Isaac and I talked yesterday about the men's Final Four being set, all number ones, of course, and the games in the Elite Eight. We didn't talk a whole lot about the Big Ten's drought, which has reached 25 years since Michigan State won it. And seven different schools have reached the championship game in the last 25 years from the Big Ten. And only Michigan State in 2000 has won it. What are your thoughts on that aspect of the whole thing?
Well, it is a drought. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Purdue made it to the championship game last year. They ran into a better team. Michigan State, I think, ran into a better team this year. You take a look at the SEC, and I think now that all the dust is cleared, we can say with all certainty that the SEC was just amazing this year and the best conference. Houston is just terrific, carrying the colors of the Big 12, and Duke, that was my pick. They're still alive. I got two of the Final Four, right? And I think Duke is going to end up winning this thing, but people have been talking. I mean, I think it's been a good tournament on the men's side, and good job by the committee to get all four number ones. I mean, that's what they're shooting for, I guess. Some people don't like it, but those semifinal matchups are going to be as good as we have had ever. This is the second time we've had all number ones, but I think these four are better than the four back, 18 years ago or something like that. So I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Duke, I think Isaac and I agreed yesterday, right, Isaac, that Duke is, you know, appears to be the team to beat, right?
Yeah, I think I said they look like the most complete team. They have a lot of versatility as far as ways to beat you. They can kind of adapt based off who they're facing. Obviously, they do have, like, a style of play they want to stick by, but, like, Houston's obviously going to, like I said yesterday, ugly the game up. And I think Duke will be fine in that situation as far as the players they have on their roster can sort of adapt and face whatever challenge Houston throws at them.
You talk about Houston holding Tennessee to 50 points, but it was also that Duke defense that held Alabama, the leading offense in the country, Scott, to 65.
Yeah, that's what was impressive to me is how they played defense. And, yeah, Cooper Flagg is incredible. Jani Broome is incredible. It'd be great to see them go head-to-head. Florida, Auburn, they just know each other so well, and that's going to be a big-time matchup. Duke, Houston, maybe the first to 60 wins that thing. They both can score, capable of scoring. I like Duke's offense a little bit more than Houston's. I think Houston's going to have to play an almost perfect game to beat Duke. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and like I said, good job by the committee. They went under a lot of scrutiny, but they got all number ones there.
Not so much on the women's side, although it was close. Connecticut crashing the party with a 14-point win over Southern Cal, a team obviously hamstrung by Juju Watkins not being available to play. But I'm telling you what, guys, Paige Beckers is really putting on a show, isn't she?
She is. And that was my pick, was UConn, because I kind of had a feeling that Paige Beckers was going to pick it up. And you don't bet against Gino Auriemma. And it's been a while since UConn has won. And this was, of course, before the unfortunate injury to Juju Watkins. But I think UConn's the team to beat in this thing. That's my opinion.
It kind of appears maybe the semifinals may be championship games, and could be totally wrong, but on the men's side, you got that Duke-Houston matchup. Arguably, that could be the national championship game. The SEC will have something to say about that. And then on the women's side, you've got UConn and UCLA. UCLA, number one team in the country. But there's defending champion South Carolina and a team in Texas that nobody, but few are talking about.
Yeah, nobody's talking about Texas. And all they keep doing is winning out of the SEC. And I keep thinking of them as Big 12. I gotta catch my tongue there when I say Big 12, now that they're in the SEC along with Oklahoma. But the Texas women have been very impressive so far. Listen, the men's and women's tournaments been great. Went out to eat last night, et cetera, et cetera, caught a little bit of this Champions Crown thing. And why in God's name is this thing even being played?
You know, Scott, you know.
Fox needs some programming.
And teams need money.
13-19 Arizona State, baby.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, will weigh in. I believe he's in Florida, Scott, headed for the Masters next week.
He is, he's got an interesting route to get to Augusta. He is going to be talking with us, and then he is going to be on his way to Doral for the Live Miami tournament, which is coming up this weekend. And he's going to cover that because obviously there are big names down there that are going to be going to Augusta and teeing it up next week. And we'll see how they go. It's going to be a very interesting Masters. A lot of storylines. There always are a lot of storylines, but maybe even more this year. What are we going to find out about Liv and the PGA Tour and the PIF coming together? Is it going to be sooner than later? Rory's got a chance to win, maybe his best chance to win the career Grand Slam, the way he's playing right now. Is Scottie Scheffler going to win back-to-back? Is he going to win his third? And that dinner is going to be great.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler's dinner. We already talked about the menu there. It's very appetizing, I would say. A lot of news today, Scott, and I know you've been off the grid a bit, but a lot of NFL action, and folks like to weigh in, 319-366-1600. I don't know what the biggest piece of news is, because there are several things. An overtime decision, expanded replay, the tush push, and whatnot. The tush push has been tabled. Philadelphia popularized that, very effective, and it's been tabled until May. I think 16 teams voted against banning it. Any time a team is effective at doing something, you want to take it away. I mean, Mike Vrabel had a great comment today. He said, "I don't want Lamar Jackson to run wild on me, but I'm not going to vote to ban him running." What's been successful is just that. So we're going to have to wait a while on the tush push.
Yeah, we are. And I know at the top of the hour in SportsCenter, they were talking about the injury possibilities with the tush push. And Listen, I hate to say it, but it's going to happen at some point. Chris Jones in the Super Bowl hurt his neck. Was not quite 100% for the rest of the game. Not saying that's why the Chiefs lost, everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're at the bottom of that pile of humanity, there's some bad things that can happen. Is it going to be banned? I don't know if it is right now. I do think it will be down the line. A couple other things. You mentioned the overtime, and I'm for it. Now, I'll say this as well. The world that believes that the NFL loves the Kansas City Chiefs, the overtime rules have been changed twice now due to the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs won games. They won the playoff game, went to the different playoff rules for overtime. Chiefs got the ball first against Tampa Bay, took it down the field and scored in the regular season. Tampa and Baker Mayfield never got a chance to have the ball. Now that has changed. So, you know, the NFL does not follow everything that Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs do. I just wanted to point that out, Mark. And I like the cameras now to help with first down rulings, but your idea of placing the little chip and using it in the football is still the best idea.
The overtime situation, I think it just is common sense. I mean, you shouldn't have rules for the postseason that you don't use in the regular season, plain and simple. And this is aligning the overtime rules with the playoff, what is done in the playoffs, and that makes perfect sense to me. Each team will get a possession, and it's a 10-minute period. I'm not sure 10 minutes is long enough. You referenced Kansas City and that drive against Tampa. I think that took 7 minutes or so.
It did.
I'm not sure 10 minutes is enough.
Yeah, they were looking at putting it up to 15 minutes, but they decided at the end to keep it in the regular season at 10 minutes. So that goes very quickly. I mean, you're watching NFL on a week three Sunday with your team or against whomever, and it seems like these quarters take forever. And then you get to overtime, and that clock just winds and goes. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to see a lot more action, I think, in overtime now because, like I said, 10 minutes is just not a lot of on-field time right now.
Another action taken by the NFL today, expanded replay. And then this has to do with, quote-unquote, clear and obvious calls related to a defenseless player, a face mask, a horse collar, a tripping, a roughing, a running into the kicker. It's not like you can look at a replay and then throw a flag. It's if a flag is thrown on what I listed, and clear and obviously it was the wrong call, which I think makes perfect sense too.
So it's not a Cooper DeJean thing? Yeah, we're still talking about it.
That was reviewed.
And they changed the whole call as far as that is concerned. And just get it right and do it quickly. You know, that's what I'm for at the end. And replay in football has been under scrutiny. Obviously, in the NCAA tournament, these endless replays at the end of the games have been under scrutiny. Baseball has kind of been the slick one, which is hard to believe that baseball is actually doing something right. But they kind of have been, at least in the early going anyway. We're about a week into it.
He is Scott Unas. I am Mark Dukes with you on the Gym Class today, 3:23. And to expand on that point about replay, I thought it was very interesting, Scott, that Troy Vincent of the NFL said the NFL has a burden to get it right, in part because of gambling. And he referenced the proliferation of legalized gambling, and he didn't say totally, but in part, because of gambling, and I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting, but I guess he's got a point. You certainly don't want to leave something hanging out there, and that, you know, a book or whatever, one of the many, many different brands has to take back, you know, the money, drop that game because it was obviously wrong. You're going to have your bad beats. Trust me, Scott Van Pelt goes over them every week. That's just the way it is if you put your money on the line like that. But I guess that's what we're coming to right now. Sports have changed. College athletics have changed. Professional athletics, they have changed. It's a different world than what we lived in when everything was under the table, Mark, and we liked it 40 years ago.
Those old parlay cards in the barbershops. And
no, that never happened.
Never happened, no. Finally, on the NFL, make your plans now for Christmas, Scott. If you don't have Amazon or Netflix, you're not going to be able to catch a triple header. Now, the NFL went to had Christmas Day games last year. I think there were two, maybe there were three. I can't remember. But it's going to have another tripleheader. Teams not announced yet. That's going to be in May. But make your plans now.
Had to last year. Chiefs were on Christmas. Yeah. So had to get at least for a day. Mm-hmm. Probably won't be the Chiefs this year because they usually they don't let teams go back-to-back like that. That's another – they're going to go head-to-head against the NBA. And the NFL did very, very well with that last year. And doesn't matter what week Christmas falls on, you're going to have NFL games from here on in until, you know, either Roger Goodell or his successor of his successor or her will deem it not necessary to have.
Isaac, get matters taken care of? Or,
yes, however we
he
did.
He abandoned me for a little bit, folks.
Yeah, we are getting another call, so I might have to go back out there just really fast, real quick.
Okay, well, I can do the scoreboard and go. Sometimes I wish there was a video feed in here, Scott. Maybe that's not such a good idea. I don't know.
No, that's not a good idea.
All right, time for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway out on First Avenue East behind Johnson Fitness. Great place to grab a drink, grab some food, classic food. Scott, you got a favorite out there, don't you?
I've got several favorites out there. The Hawkeye.
The Hawkeye, the Cuban, chicken rangoon, whatever. Visit Emil's. Kitchen's open from 4 to 9 each day, Monday through Saturday. Bar closes at 11. On the scoreboard today, news out of the Iowa women's basketball camp yesterday that guard Aliyah Guyton is entering the transfer portal. And other matters, top recruit Addie Deal will play tonight in the McDonald's All-Star Game. And former Hawk Lucy Olson will participate in the college All-Star Game on Saturday. Michigan State fans received a jolt today when Captain Trey Holloman said he was entering the portal. He'd played in 106 games in three seasons for the Spartans. Buzz Williams has decided to leave Texas A&M and is the new head coach at Maryland in the Big Ten. He replaces Kevin Willard, who took the Villanova job. Auburn coach Bruce Pearl said star Jahni Broome will miss practice today and Wednesday and hopefully can return Thursday. Broome injured his elbow in the Tigers' Elite Eight game against Michigan State. Finally, Josh Sash and Bryson Williams have joined Ben McCollum's staff at Iowa as assistant coaches. Both had been at Drake. Sash is the brother of former Iowa football star Tyler Sash, Scott.
Yeah, good. Those two guys were at Drake along with Ben McCollum, so not a big surprise that they followed him along. I think the The one piece to all this is going to be Matt Gaetens. Is he going to be a holdover, or is he going to be moving on? And it'll be, as Bo Schembechler would say, outside the family for Iowa basketball. Good to get Cooper Koch back.
Yes.
As well for Ben McCollum. And I know he has his sights set on Josh Dix, and Josh is a very wanted individual right now. Was in Bloomington, Indiana, I know, over the last couple of days. So, I mean, getting back, great. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but we'll see. And very interesting news about Buzz Williams. But you go from a school where basketball is not the number one thing on campus in College Station to where it is in College Park, Maryland. And I think that had a lot to do with it. But listening to Kevin Willard talking about how cheap Maryland was with their athletic department, that's also a little bit of a head scratcher. So the truth lies somewhere in between, Mark.
Yeah, and as far as how McCollum is putting his team together, you mentioned Koch and a couple other Drake players. Tavian Banks, I know, announced today from Drake that he's entering the portal. So it'll be interesting to see how many of those guys come over to McCollum.
Yeah, I think Banks is going to. And Holloman of Michigan State, man, you talk about that one is a real shocker as far as loyalty is concerned. That was one of the things that Michigan State over the years has really done well. They haven't. You take a look at Power Five teams in college basketball, they have not lost a whole lot of individuals. And that's a pretty significant one there for Tom Izzo.
It is. Time for a break. When we come back, Scott, Isaac, and I will be joined by Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
More clouds will continue to build in as we do head throughout our day today. We will see those winds picking back on up, mainly out of the southeast, allowing for those temperatures to climb the way back on up into those upper 40s to lower 50s here this afternoon. By the late afternoon and early evening, our next chance for some showers and thunderstorms will be working the way on through our area. We also will be continuing to see these chances stick around throughout the overnight hours, and these will have the potential to be severe, with the main threats being hail and wind, as well as an isolated tornado, especially as we head into early Wednesday morning. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa News Now with the first forecast.
Geico, Farmers Insurance, and State Farm all have one thing in common. Out of over 6,000 insurance companies in the U.S., they are the very few that have broken through ad clutter and get remembered. Did you know your company can do the same thing right here in the corridor? Here's the good news. You can break out from your competition and become famous for what you do. It's called a business transformation. Stacy Daybault here, inviting you to come out camping with KZIA for a few hours at Brand Camp. We'll teach you the 3 M's of marketing, so you have a system that finally breaks through and gets your business famous for what you do. Join us for Brand Camp on April 8th at the African American Museum.
Brand Camp, where businesses build their brand.
Here's how. Go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab, and sign up there. I'll see you on April 8th.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Welcome back. to the gym class, Mark Dukes, Scott Unash, and Isaac Elzinga with us. Isaac paving the way to our interview with Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated and Scott Unash on the road. Isaac, we got all good to go? Outstanding. Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, joining us right now. Bob, you're in Florida. Scott's down south playing some golf. I'm stuck here in cloudy, cool Cedar Rapids. How you doing?
I'm sure it's about to get nice and warm there for you, right?
It has Spring been. It has been, and it will again. What are you doing in Florida?
Well, I live in Florida, but I'm actually I actually drove down to Miami. I'm going to be at the LIV event for a couple of days this week. They've got 12 guys in the field who are going to be at the Masters next week. And then I'm heading to Augusta this weekend.
Scott? Hey, Bob, just to go over for people that may not know, the difference is there's a big difference between a PGA event and a LIV event. Kind of give a couple of examples of that for the people that don't know out there.
Yeah, well, you know, the first, I guess the big one is PGA Tour events are 72 holes and LIV only plays 54. So 3 days instead of four. And, you know, on some levels that's controversial. You know, most professional golf events are staged over 72 holes, including all the majors. You know, LIV kind of came on board with the idea of being an additive product. They have a team element. There's 13 teams of four men each. Well, while they each play their own ball and post an individual score, they also add up all the scores to give them a team score. They believe in that concept. They believe it's more of a global concept like F1, frankly. And they have a shotgun start. They start at the same time. Everybody on different holes at the same time. That's pretty unique at this level. And then of course, you know, there's the controversial aspect of it. They signed a bunch of players who used to play on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. They signed them to lucrative contracts. They play for a lot of money every week. And you know, there's question as to whether or not it's catching on or not. So we're into the fourth year now, and it's still sort of unresolved. There's a lot of you know, there's a lot of questions still to be answered about all of this.
Bob, I know you you followed this. The TGL wrapped up its season, and that's the indoor simulator golf league. And for folks that don't know out there, and I found it technologically anyway extremely interesting, and some of the bantering between players was really good. Was it successful, and where do you see it going?
Listen, from where I sit, I think it was. I mean, and I had my doubts. You know, I probably would have been among the skeptics. You know, like I wondered about, you know, this idea of playing indoors, simulator golf. I mean, I think where I missed the mark was I was thinking more of it in terms of, like, you know, the simulator you'd see in your pub. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's huge. The arena is really impressive, what they did. And obviously they got the buy-in of these players, you know, and basically I think the way to look at it is it's a TV show, you know, it's entertainment. It doesn't interfere with the other golf. It's on Mondays and Tuesdays. They've got the buy-in of a lot of big name, you know, wealthy owners. ESPN has it, which is, you know, obviously a huge boost. And now we'll see what they do. I think they probably need to make some tweaks. I think there's some things they can improve. The way I looked at it is basically harmless. Like, if you like it, great. If you don't, no problem. It doesn't really change anything in golf. It's something that's extra if you want to consume it, and if you don't, it's your choice as well.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be back and even better. I think we're going to see some expansion, a couple new teams maybe coming in, if not next year, in the years to come. I thought it was a nice distraction. Some people were saying, well, these guys are thinking about, you know, the TGL other than playing, but They're doing it basically in their off weeks, and the schedule all worked, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, they had to do some juggling. I mean, one thing they were smart about was they got with the players in advance, and they asked them, you know, where do you plan to play on the West Coast, and where do you plan, you know, and then they tried to make it so that guys who were playing on a Monday or Tuesday might not have been playing that weekend, or certainly weren't going to be playing the following week. You know, so the early part of it was tough because it was such a long commute. It wasn't as bad here towards the end when they were in Florida. You know, like Xander played, you know, the Players Championship, and then he played TGL, I believe it was on a Tuesday, Monday night, and then he went to the Valspar and played, and then after Valspar went back to TGL for the Monday, Tuesday, which was the championship thing. So that would have been a lot harder if he hadn't been playing tournament golf in Florida. And that might be something they have to look at. I'm wondering if it went a little bit too long, like going all the way up to and after the Players Championship might be something they might want to look at. I don't know if they can really start earlier. They were obviously looking for windows that didn't compete with football, and it seemed to hold its own against college basketball. You know, it was in some of the TV windows, it did much better than the college basketball in that window the year before, which I got to believe they're pleased with.
Bob, the Masters 9 days from now. We'll get back to Liv in a minute here, but let's talk a little bit about the Masters. And Scott and I have a vested interest in the number one player in the world from a fantasy standpoint. What about Scottie Scheffler? And not like he's played horrible, but any cause for concern going into the Masters?
No, I think he's fine. He got off to a late start because of the hand injury, and I think that we needed to give him a little bit of time. He had a pretty good tournament here this past weekend. Obviously on, Friday, he shot 61 or 2, I guess it was. The fact that that's in there is a great sign. You know, he was a little frustrated in Florida at the two tournaments that he won last year and didn't this year. I think it's unfair to compare it. He missed a couple of tournaments early on and was going to need a little bit more time. I think his putting was maybe a hair off from last year, but he's still hitting the ball great. You know, I think you got to look at him next week, certainly. I think he's probably rounding into form just at the right time.
Hey, Bob, is the biggest storyline Rory's chance to win the career Grand Slam, and is this his best opportunity the way he's playing right now?
Yeah, listen, if it's not number one, it's right up there. I mean, I think Scotty trying to repeat is big, too, because that doesn't happen very often. It's only happened 3 times in Masters history. Rory, he's won twice on the PGA Tour this year. He's never done that going into the Masters. Obviously, he's playing at a high level really for 6 months. Could have, should have won the U.S. Open last year. Won a tournament in the fall on the DP World Tour. Contended often, and he's kind of maintained that through. And this is the one that's sort of been hanging over him now for a decade. The thing is it just too much? I mean, that's what you wonder about. I mean, Rory has found himself behind often at Augusta, and that's just not the position you want to be in trying to catch up. It's especially for him, a guy who thinks he can make a lot of birdies, because when you start firing at pins, that's what leads to mistakes. You know, I think for Rory's sake, he needs to get off to a good start. I'm not saying lead. But, you know, get under par, shoot 69, be 2 or 3 back at the most, and work your way into it so that on Sunday you're there. You know, there's too many – obviously, you know, last year, not so great. 2 years ago, missed the cut. He's – frankly, since he's had a chance to complete the career Grand Slam, he's not really been a true contender on Sunday. He's backdoored a couple of high finishes. The year Patrick Reed won, he was in the last group with Reed, had an eagle putt at number 2 after pulling within 2 that he missed, and the air kind of came out. And he was never really close again. I just sort of think, you know, there's it's great to be playing well, but you need a lot of other things to happen as well.
What will people see at Augusta in terms of any changes? I know it was affected by storms at one point, whatnot. Any tweaks to the course?
I'm not sure that we'll notice. We might notice a thinning of trees. I'm not sure it's going to affect play too much. Four greens have been redone. That's not uncommon. The major one that was damaged was the 16th. A couple of trees fell on the green, and they had to replace the entire green. And actually, it was closed to the members for a while. They played a temporary green on that hole. Rory said, though, like it's basically the same green. Now, will it play different? Probably. You know, like it takes a little while sometimes for these things to come in. But, you know, I don't know if there's a chance that, like, the dog leg at 13, if those trees are a little thinner there, if that makes that easier, or, you know, there's some tree damage that appeared to be between the first and, you know, along the left side of the first fairway and the ninth. Does that change anything? I don't know. I think we'll find out more. But, you know, it's going to look great. Unless you were told, or we probably aren't even going to realize that anything happened, even though it was really significant. I mean, the community was hit hard. You know, a lot of people, you know, suffered a lot of damage. There was power outages for a long time there. You know, I think that's going to be the messaging we hear from the Augusta people. They're going to try to shift it more to that. They've got the resources to recover from something like that. In fact, they donated a lot of money to the relief efforts in town.
Bob Herrig joining us here at 3:46 on the gym class for a Tuesday here on 1600 ESPN. And you're going down to Live. Take a look at the guys in the tournament itself that are going to be playing in Augusta. And we don't hear a ton about what's coming out of Live. What do you think about the guys that are going to be going to the Masters? Who is Bryson have the best shot, or is there going to be somebody else that we need to watch?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Bryson's an interesting study. I mean, since he won the U.S. Open last year, he's not really contended, even in live events. He's not really been a high finisher. I mean, he's kind of toyed with it a couple times. There was an international series event in India before Live opened its season in Riyadh. That he was up there, I believe he finished second. But you know, it's kind of wild. He's not won, and it'll be interesting to find out like where his game is. You know, I would certainly think that Rahm and Joaquin Niemann, Sergio, they've been playing some pretty good golf. Kepka seemed to come around in their last event, so you know, and he gears himself up for the majors anyway. You know, so this week is a little bit of a sign. I mean, Doral is a very difficult golf course. It's a long driver's course. It's obviously not the same as Augusta, but it's got at least it's a test that I think gives you some idea. And so we'll see. But you're right; it's kind of hard to know. And look, it's hard to know on the PGA Tour side too. You know, like. Previous success does not always translate, you know, to winning there. I mean, Scotty last year winning the Players and the Masters is rare. Like that hadn't happened since Tiger, you know, back in what 2001, I think. It just doesn't happen very often. So even winning in Florida and winning the Masters. So, but I think you can look for trends and signs. Are guys hitting the ball well? Are they hitting greens? You know, are they scrambling? What, you know, what's their game look like? And so I think that's what this week is about.
Last from me, Bob, and that is various ways to get into the Masters. And a pretty untold story was the way Michael Kim got in. He made a 7-foot putt for par on the 18th last week in Houston and got into the top 50. And that's... He's a guy that has played very well this year, but that was a kind of a story that went under the radar.
No question. He was like, I want to say he was like 140-something in the world at the start of the year. and he's contended a bunch, and he moved himself into position, and he needed to hang on there to get that 50th spot. This past Monday was the last day for the top 50 into the Masters, and it was really tight. Like, the map was so close that you had to wait for the rankings to come out. Ben Griffin was the other one who narrowly missed. He's 51st by percentage points. And so he was trying to get it into his first Masters, and Michael Kim's only played in one before. So, they were sweating it out. That was the story within the story. And, you know, Michael Kim's played, I believe he played 8 straight and 11 out of 12 here. Mm. So, you know, he's taking this week off, and we'll see if he's got anything left in the tank for next week.
Well, speaking of Michael Kim and others, it's been a very interesting start to the 2025 PGA season. I mean, Rory's got a couple of wins on the high side, and then you've got, you know, Michael Kim, you've got Joe Highsmith, Sepp Straka is off to a really good start. It's been kind of from all spectrums so far on the PGA Tour.
Yep, there's no question. There's a lot of first-timers. I mean, the field is at 96 right now, which is pretty high. We had a bunch of winners in the fall that got in. You know, like, it's the field has been around 90 or even 88 the last few years. So there's more guys, you know, and a lot of good players. You know, traditionally first timers don't do that well. You need some experience, but yet nothing is absolute. Jordan Spieth almost won in his first try. 11 years ago, actually, and then he won in a second try, and he should have won in his third. So, you know, it all depends. If a guy can figure it out, it's certainly there to be had. You know, you have to get over the awe factor. I think a lot of people go there, and, you know, it's overwhelming. You know, we talk about it so much. It means so much. I mean, I saw where, you know, Griffin talked in the aftermath of Houston about how it was on his mind all day. You know, he didn't know what he needed to do, actually. Obviously, he tried to shoot the best score he can. And to be that close and not make it, it's got to be heartbreaking. He could get in if he were to win this week in San Antonio. That's the last way into the Masters. Whereas Michael Kim's relieved. You know, he's in. But now does he, you know, how does he channel that to play well at the Masters?
Bob, thanks so much. Best to you in Miami this week at the Live event and next week at the Masters. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Bob. Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, joining us on the Jim Kless. Always appreciate his insight into professional golf. We're going to take a break, but before we do that, Scott Unish has a message for us.
I do, Mark Dukes. And talking about your neighborhood Quick Star, I'm going to expand out of the neighborhood a little bit, because when you're getting ready and on a road trip, you need to stop, fuel up, not only the car or truck or SUV, whatever the case may be, but yourself as well. And you can do that. And we did it at your Quick Star. Whether it's in Tama on the way to Des Moines or going south, stop on by. They got some great, great snacks and always great, delicious coffee and sodas there. And they got some great deals going on right now. If you stop by at your neighborhood Quick Star, that includes 1.5 quarts of Nature's Touch ice cream, assorted varieties, $2.99, limit 2, and Nature's Touch cream cheese, 8-ounce packages, 99 cents, limit 5, and also 12-ounce frappes, smoothies, and cold brews. They're $1.49 right now, and in assorted varieties, and $1 off of all others. So great deals at your neighborhood Quick Star, and we're going to be stopping on the way back a couple times, I would imagine, as well.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you to Quick Star. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Cubs baseball and KGYM's role right after this.
Empower. Tim collects bobbleheads, a lot of bobbleheads, baseball bobbleheads, race car bobbleheads, little chihuahua bobbleheads. He's got an entire room strictly for bobbleheads. Does he need them? No. Is his wife mad about it? A little. But Tim works with Empower, and he got good at money. So he can be a little bad. Ooh, horse bobblehead. Classy, Tim. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at empower.com.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, hon.
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Welcome back, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga, Scott Unash with you on the Gym Class for a couple more minutes tonight. Once again, Cubs baseball on the air against the Athletics. Big win for the Chicago Cubs last night. 8:30 pregame. And as the Cubs and Athletics will get together again tomorrow, local programming after 3 o'clock, the Gym Class and Spencer on Sports will be off. The Cubs will play the Athletics 2 o'clock pregame tomorrow. Coverage brought to you by Fleming Irrigation throughout the season. And, Isaac, I was unaware that obviously we're very pleased to have baseball on the air and the Cubs on the air for a lot of the season, most of the season. Last night there was a glitch, and it had nothing to do with KGYM, but it was kind of and a couple people ask about it, listeners. Thank you for that. You want to explain?
Yeah, so one, there was some issues with the Wi-Fi at the Sacramento A's stadium, even though they don't want to be called that. That's what they are. there was some Wi-Fi issues, so apologies to those that were listening and did get kind of cut out every now and then. Blame the Athletics. That's all I can say. They cheaped out on the stadium, cheaped out on the Wi-Fi. When the Wi-Fi went out, everyone, the radio broadcast went out. So sorry to our listeners for there. There was also a delay in the seventh inning, I believe, with a drone flying over the field. And there's actually pretty funny videos out there on X where you can see one of the ball boys. I think he hit it down, maybe just reached up and grabbed it out of the air. I can't remember now. But he grabbed the drone out of the air and just pulled it back down, and they resumed the game after that. But there was also a delay in the game because a drone was flying over the field.
Scott, weigh in, please.
Drones are illegal. And the A's should be in Oakland.
I did catch a little bit of this.
Was that their catcher had a hit for the cycle last night, right?
Yes, indeed. The Twins as a team have yet to hit for the cycle. So, yeah, good for him. But, I caught a little bit of the stadium. It's a 3-year deal, so I guess that is what it is in Sacramento.
Yeah. We got we're off tomorrow, as you mentioned, and then we got Kevin Lehman on Thursday, and then we'll talk Drake Relays on Thursday as well. And Caddy Smack starts next week, and we're going to talk to Brian Haas live from Augusta. He's going to be down there. Looking forward to that.
Sounds great. Yeah, we'll be off tomorrow. We'll be off Friday, but please join us again on Thursday. Isaac, thanks so much for the last couple of days. And Scott, safe travels. Have a good sandwich or a drink at Quick Star, and we'll talk to you Thursday.
All right. See you then.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming up next.
When you're in the thick of a project, Harbor Freight is the place that always comes in handy. Whether you're picking up something for your pickup truck or a power tool for your project, at Harbor Freight, your dollar always goes further. And these days, when everything seems to cost more, you can take pride in knowing that you get hard-working tools